This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You play to win the game.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, I was really excited to talk a little golf and have both Barry Deitch from the PGA and also our golf expert, Dan Reardon, join us in studio as we are in FedEx Cup season, getting ready for the President's Cup and getting ready for, obviously, the PGA Championship here in St. Louis now in less than a year. Gentlemen, what's going on? Thank you so much for coming in.
Good to be here.
Always good to be here.
You know, it's such an exciting time for golf right now, such an exciting sports time with football starting, with Major League Baseball churning towards the postseason. You've got the FedEx Cup playoffs. Next year will be the last time that we play the PGA Championship in August. And you were right, Barry. You said, and it's kind of hard to envision if you've never been in a host city, but you said as soon as that final putt goes down at Quail Hollow, it's going to be all eyes on St. Louis. What has this last 3 weeks, month been like for you, your staff, as the attention focuses to St. Louis and Belle Reve?
Is there a hurricane going on?
Thankfully not here.
We get pretty tunnel vision at this point. It ramped up about a week before Quail Hollow, and now it becomes very tunnel focused because, you know, it's time becomes the issue for us. So the level of activity has definitely increased, no doubt.
Dan, you were there. What was the chatter? What was the experience like? And again, to now turn the page, and obviously a lot of golf will be played between now and the PGA Championship next August. But what were people saying in Quail Hollow? What were they asking you? What was some of the buzz you were hearing about in terms of next year?
You know, the people I'm around most of the time are the media people, so they're looking about things, simple things like housing and logistics and that kind of stuff. I mentioned to Barry, I was very impressed with Quail Hollow. I really wanted to see the golf course because the golf course has such a good reputation when it was a tour stop. So I was very anxious to see why the players were so enthralled with the layout. And it's really, I think, a pretty spectacular golf course when you get right down to it. Traditional in many ways, and yet has some exotic stretches when you come along the water on that, quote, green mile at the end. The level of interest, the level of excitement that they have there for the first time hosting a major championship is something we experienced in 92. You know, you asked Barry a moment ago about what's it like. I would think at this point what's happened at Belle Reve is the members have gone from hassle to excitement. You know, all this has been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's this one and that one and whatever it might be. And now it's theirs. I mean, it's truly theirs. And I would think that the members probably are more excited now than they've been at any time other than maybe when the announcement was made. Now, that's just my projection onto them.
What's it like, Barry, in your experience, not just here at Belle Reve, but in your past stops, to go in and, I don't want to use the term take over, it sounds almost hostile, but mm-hmm. That's what it is. You guys become a part of the family, a part of the membership, a part of the community, like mm-hmm. St. Louis, that you're in, whether you're going out to eat or you're talking to someone at the gas station or you're sitting down and having a meal. What is that experience like for you in terms of the membership at a club, but also the city?
I think, Dan, I think he said it correctly. I mean, you definitely see a pivoting and a momentum start to build. We kind of saw that around the first part of June. We understood there might be a little bit of lull in July, but definitely right after July 31st and every week ensuing. So whether that is the amount of departmental visits from various departments of the PGA of America begin, the amount of outside service vendors who are national vendors who start to come in. We've got our corporate taste event that's coming up, which is almost a 3-day event, but it takes about a 2-week to produce. We're going to be going throughout Missouri with various events. So we'll be going to Kansas City here soon, October the 4th. I would see us going down to Springfield and other places as we kind of close up the year. But the detail planning in earnest really begins now, going into the winter months.
So tell us where we're at right now. I know I keep hearing from my buddies about their where they are in registration and purchasing tickets. Where are we from that standpoint? And then from a volunteer standpoint, I know you guys are just absolutely thrilled with the response you got and plenty of volunteers to select from.
Well, it was a record-setting pace of volunteers registered basically in 5 weeks. We've seen previous events take anywhere from 8 to 10 months. So that was an extraordinary amount of time. We are extremely pleased with our ticket sales year-to-date. We're about midway through the registration period of sales. The week-long season grounds ticket basically is no longer available as of basically this weekend. I would say in the days ahead, a championship ticket for the weekend at Bellerive next year will be no longer available over the weeks ahead. So we are really concentrating on what is, in effect, from opening Monday to championship Sunday. This is going to be an extraordinary week of celebration, you know, of 100 years of PGA Championship golf. So we really want to concentrate on that as we go in and finish sort of this first phase of available ticket sales, and then we'll analyze what we have and probably release what may be available next year.
That's the thing, too. And Dan, from covering every major for us every year and the stretch that you've been on in terms of your coverage and where you've been, you see firsthand, and Barry, you obviously do too, that these tournaments are so much more than just the tournament. There's so much more than the 4 days or the week. I mean, it's the year leading up to it. It's the impact that it has on a community. It's the charitable impact that the tournament and the sponsorship dollars and the dollars that come in have on a community. And it's something that lasts a lot longer than the first tee shot at 6:45 on Thursday or the Pro-Am until that final putt on Sunday.
But, you know, it's different in the sense that And Bellerive now, this is 25 years after the first opportunity to host the PGA Championship. So in a sense, this is a brand new PGA Championship for this area. This is a discovery.
Oh, sure.
You know, the generation that was there when Nick Price won in 92 is my age, and their level of enthusiasm and excitement is going to be a little different. But
absolutely.
But when you go into a community, and that's why I mentioned Quail Hollow, when you go into a place that has never hosted a PGA Championship, there is a level of excitement. There is a level of interest. There's a level of attention, even in the media, that you don't see. So if, you know, the USGA has a rotation of courses that people go to on a regular basis, Pebble Beach, Pinehurst,
sure,
whatever it might be. But even though I may be critical of what took place at Chambers Bay, I'm in no way critical of the level of excitement that you saw from the people of Seattle about hosting a major golf championship in the Northwest for the first time. The same is true in Milwaukee when they go to Erin Hills. And I will also say I've had an opportunity to talk to many of the Barry Deitches over the years on KMOX leading into PGA Championships. And I will say, to his a compliment, Barry brings to this a kind of enthusiasm that is like, this is my new event. This is my new town. There's a genuine enthusiasm, enjoyment of what he is doing with this town that is not necessarily typical of every tournament director or tournament chairman that you run into over the years.
That's something that you said to me, Barry, when we sat down at Bellerive a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And you talked about being in St. Louis, coming into the city, making it your home while you are here living and working. And you talked about the passion for the Cardinals. You talked about some of the restaurants. You talked about driving on the highways. You drive the highways to kind of see what you're going to be dealing with. So how has St. Louis treated you over did you arrive in March or April? It's been 5 months?
End of March, kind of did a little secret
beginning
visit.
Of baseball season.
Exactly. So, I mean, hey, opening, I appreciate Dan's comments. And one of that's the, when you're trying to build momentum on something, and I think the contrast of the newness is very much part of the early discussions with the PGA of America back in January when there was consideration about coming. And I just said, you know, the 100th, regardless in the world of sport, it's just another championship year, but it's also the 100th. And there's, if you look at the celebrations in the United States about things that turn 100, there's some specialty to that. I don't care, regardless of what you know, whether it's momentum, whether it's think of the places where, you know, Belle Reve has already won and so has St. Louis. Think of the other venues that could have competed for this 100th PGA championship. And then I put that in the context of, you know, opening, you know, opening Monday is me learning about opening day here. and the importance
it's
of
quite
what
the
that,
event.
What, and the importance of that, and how that it really springboarded us into that whole celebratory, you know, opening Monday to Championship Sunday, sort of, you know, how we're going to look at this championship and how we're going to, what's working with Explore St. Louis and with the Civic Pride Group, and all the different agencies all the way to Jefferson City. So for us, that snowballing effect, it's interesting that Dan brought that up as far as some of the earlier new venues. So I've had quite a few new venues, and I felt in January in discussing with the PGA of America, I said, this feels like to me a little bit of a mini 2004, meaning it's the modern major is so different from 1992 and what goes into the complexities of
it.
I'm not sure even if Belle Reve was entirely clear as to what really was coming outside of their executive leadership under Mike and Ed Glatchbotch and the executive team, but the general membership, so which is why we had this big event in June we called the FET, which is like 550 people that we basically threw a very big party to kind of introduce what was really, really going to happen. And we had a great future host site committee group that went to Quail, and I can tell you there were uncountable amount of times that those people who attended had a little bit of a shock and awe when they came back, meaning, so this is going to work? And that's the whole fun about putting it together and then bringing a community around it to really support it.
You know, and the other thing I'm curious to see how it plays out is the 100th. I'd have to look it up, but I was on hand for the 100th U.S. Open. Mm. I'm inclined to think it was at Pebble Beach.
It was.
The sell on that was very muted. Mm. This was not a big deal as far as the USGA presented it to the public, because Pebble Beach sort of overwhelmed the U.S. Open every time it's there. I get a different sense about the PGA of America and their approach to this 100th. This is a truly big deal for them, a big enough deal that somebody played a little trick on me about 5 years ago. Julius Mason played a little trick on me. But it was with the idea in mind that we are really loading up for this 100th PGA championship. Mm. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out once we get to the event.
Yeah. I think they might make the whole membership base of the PGA of America may be the basis for that. I mean, if you look at Jim Richardson, who's now on the board, one of our officers who's from Columbia, you know, went to just out of Kansas City, grew up here. I mean, has a deep connection, has already come in for two events. He's coming in for our Kansas City event. He's deeply committed to making this succeed. Or Josh Riley and the Gateway section and what they've done with Ozzie Smith, you know.
Yeah, and hold that thought, Barry, because I do want to talk more about that, about Gateway section and Ozzie Smith and the impact this tournament's going to have on St. Louis, both when it happens and then beyond. So we'll take a quick break and be back with more. Barry Deitch and Dan Reardon with us in this 7 o'clock hour. The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports, Milan and KMOX.
Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, is sold out. But you won't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Hear John's inspirational message, Friday evening beginning at 8.
Kid, are you listening?
And I say very loudly back. And I hear my friend, who I'd never met before that day, say to me,
good, keep fighting.
It's a special broadcast of Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects. Shape the Inspired, this Friday evening beginning at 8 on KMOX.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game, we're talking about practice.
On KMOX.
Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues. The 7 o'clock hour of the program. Thrilled to have Barry Deitch of the PGA of America and Dan Reardon in studio talking a little golf as we look ahead to the PGA Championship next year. And Barry, you were just talking about some of the folks that are intimately involved with putting this event on, and you mentioned Ozzie Smith.
And what an incredible ambassador Ozzie is for the city of St. Louis, for the game of golf, and then melding them together. And I can't wait to see, as we talk about lasting impact,
what kind of impact the tournament and some of the dollars and a lot of the passion will have on what Ozzie is trying to do for a lot of kids in St. Louis.
PGA Reach and the elements within PGA Reach were born here as an idea. The name was born here. It is now one of the fastest arms of the PGA of America and what we're doing with our 28,000 golf professionals across the United States. The nucleus of that came through the Gateway section and the members of Bellerive and that leadership. And then you put Ozzie Smith, who has just is a champion for this city in so many ways, and his commitment to ensuring that the 100th is successful, as big and as successful as it can be for the city, has been really overwhelming for me, as personally as a being introduced to him and his commitment to the city and making sure we have a great event.
It's evident. And Dan, I think that something that's so cool that I'm sure you have a unique perspective on is this city, when something happens, especially it seems like within sports, whether it's the run the Cardinals have had, the partnership between the Cardinals and the Blues, obviously the golf tournament that will be here next year, whether it's a corporate event, a sports event, the community just really seems to get excited about rallying and everybody working together. And there are these partnerships on so many different levels that make big events like this not just possible, but have that kind of lasting impact that can, you know, go on for years and years and years.
Yeah, it's a great event town. It's always been a great event town for golf. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I worked for the LPGA event here in St. Louis for 8 or 9 years. I don't remember what the exact number. It was a box office success every year. It was a corporate decision to pull out of the area. The job that Enterprise did with the senior event out at Boone Valley was extraordinarily well done. The whole progression of events that Bellerive has done over the years have been extremely well done. I go to this year, the juniors events out at St. Albans were very well done. You go back to Boone Valley for the U.S. junior girls, whether it was at boys in 2007 or 2014 or 2017 with the girls. It's always been a really good golf event town, probably not good enough to sustain a PGA Tour event, but almost a slam dunk when it comes to staging an event. And I don't know, we may be creeping up on a break or something like this, but the other thing I have to say to you, Chris, about this, and Barry, I'll say as well, understand that I can relate to all the things we're talking about, but I spend my time in golf covering guys playing golf. And I can tell you that there's really good fortune in place for Bellerive, because the game of golf in the post-Tiger era has never been as vibrant as it is at this given moment. You mentioned Conway Forms. Conway Forms is generating electricity because they have John Rahm, they have Jordan Spieth, they have Justin Thomas, they have all these young talents rip-roaring through the FedEx Series. And there's nothing going to change that. This is not tied to one personality at this point in time. Between now and next August, this is not going to be tied to who's hot on tour, because they're all going to be hot on tour. And as a sporting event, we can talk about the spectacle, we can talk about anything. It still comes down to a sporting event. And this event will deliver a quality of personalities and talent and excitement that, like I said, we have not seen since Tiger has been pushed to the side, and even have not seen, quite honestly, in the final years of Tiger's dominance of the tour. Never have we seen this stretch of talent over a wide spectrum, all of whom have name appeal, and you can sell in the box office. You could put five players right now on the program for the PGA Championship other than your current champion, Justin Thomas, and every one of them would sell to the public. You could put posters up all the way through your entranceway of the guys in the field, and they will sell to the public. The people know who these kids are, and they are excited to see these kids play.
Well, that's the next thing that I wanted to talk about, because if you think about this year, not just the majors, but especially over the last month, not only have you had big names at the top of every leaderboard, but you've had a lot of drama every Sunday. It's been just incredible, incredible sport, and from my vantage point on my couch, it's been incredible television, and you've got a incredible defending champion. That'll be here in St. Louis.
You know, that's
the player of the year.
Yeah, Dan, that was very good.
Not yet.
Very well.
Unless
said.
Something weird happens, player of the year.
I can tell you, I just did a piece for CBS local, and I can tell you, Jordan Spieth believes that if he can run the table on FedEx the last two,
I just think Justin Thomas might win again.
He will make that. He will make that claim.
But, you might. But well, you're right. Had a chance a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so you guys have heard that the eeriness of the connection between Bell Reeve, right, and Gary Player and his, you know, Dan can talk about that and where, you know, that would be interesting storyline, I think, from a Jordan Spieth, where he could do the
complete
same.
Complete the slam, absolutely.
Right, wouldn't that, I mean, that to me kind of gets a little bit of chilly, you know,
yeah.
get chills, really, and I think on top of that.
But you wouldn't be unhappy with a John Rahm winning his first major championship here. You wouldn't be unhappy with a repeat champion out of Justin Thomas. You wouldn't be. I mean, you could go on. That's what I'm saying. The laundry list is there.
Probably 10 or 15 guys you'd be thrilled, right?
Without being too critical, this is not going to be a PGA championship with Sean McKeel as its winner. This is going to be a significant name winning this championship with significant talent chasing him to the finish line.
And I think for me, Dan has heard this, and it's pretty well touted by the PGA every year. You know, when you talk about the field and the top 100 players in the world golf ratings, I mean, we get the top 100 players every year. We're going to have, 97, I think, of the top 100. We're at Quail. So when you look at that, and I kind of express to people to go, 70-plus ties go on to Saturday, Sunday, but they're all there Monday through Friday. So if you're somebody who is not necessarily into the largest crowds, people underserve the value of the practice
Absolutely.
Rounds Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday immeasurably because you can take pictures, you can grab for autographs.
Well, and the things you can see those guys do, right?
Like
you get to see some cool stuff in a practice round.
And the entertainment piece, meaning when these guys are, the 5-10 guys are all having their own groups and they're having their own games and
they're loose.
It is entertaining.
I had a friend ask me what he should buy. He had two to buy. I said, buy a practice round, and I would go for Tuesday because I think you still do the Champions Clinic on Tuesday.
Correct, yep.
And I said, and I would not, unless you really need to be there for the weekend, I would probably buy Friday because on Friday I know I have the full field. Yeah. So even if I have one of these players, even if I have a Jason Day who's sitting outside the cut line or a Rory McIlroy sitting outside the cut line, I can see them play on Friday.
Yeah.
I can say I checked that off my box. But I also have guys who are playing to make it to the weekend. So that was my choice to him was go Tuesday, Friday.
All right, sit tight. We'll take another break, come back, and a little bit more with Barry Deitch and Dan Reardon hanging out here in the 7 o'clock hour on KMOX.
Once again, St. Louis, you showed your heart.
I am live at the Schnucks in the parking lot, I-55 in Butler Hill, STL for Houston.
You were there to help those devastated by Hurricane Harvey.
We're raising funds for the American Red Cross, and we're also collecting cleaning supplies for the victims of the floods in Houston, Texas.
We couldn't have done it without you.
To everyone who came out, and it was just a great turnout all day long.
6 53-foot trucks on their way to Houston.
Not to mention the thousands of dollars.
$73,000.
Thank you. From News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Couple more minutes in the 7 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you, and we are visiting with Barry Deitch of the PGA of America and with Dan Reardon. Barry, you were going to tee something up for Dan.
I have to ask you, what did you hear in the media center at Quail about the shorts? Personally, and I have to just say this, only reason is...
So you're talking about the guys being able to wear shorts in the PGA Championship,
yes,
in the practice round.
I have to tell you, I've been in this business 25 years, and when I saw that, I had the most positive, visceral reaction that I could relate to these guys.
Humanizing.
Those top five or top 10 especially. Exactly. Like, I loved it. And I was I'm a purist. I mean, I'm a guy.
I'm a purist.
I'm a traditional purist guy. And I kept looking at it and I'm like, why am I feeling this way? And I thought they just seemed so much more connectivity. I was surprised by my own reaction, but I think it's gonna be great for golf.
I appreciate the novelty of it, and maybe there's an inevitability to this. Although I doubt that it's inevitable. I don't think we will ever see shorts worn at Augusta National.
Right.
I don't envision the USGA doing that, and they'll never do that at the Open Championship.
Right.
So if it only becomes the PGA Championship, then I think it becomes a liability rather than an asset in that regard. And I was there at Valhalla when the caddies threatened to strike unless they were allowed to wear shorts for that championship. So
here's the good banter in the media center. So my good banter back to you would say, PGA of America is about all of the 28,000 golf professionals who on the ground game connect the game with every future golfer, girl, boy, woman, man, and to anything that we can do to connect the game and grow that game. I think this was a huge, wonderful move for that. And if it makes it more accessible for people, modernizes it a little bit from us, for our perspective, I think that's how I feel.
It's logical. I don't have any logical reaction to it. Like I said, it's strictly just a conservative kind of thing. And as I said, I don't think you'll see that happen in the other three championships anywhere in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. With that being said, talking about connectivity and the modern game and the point Dan made about the characters that are going to be here, the superstars, the storylines, and comparing it to whether it was the tournament here in 92. I was just flipping through this Augusta Spectator guide that Dan brought me, and it said the year 2000, Augusta and the Masters tournament was the first tournament to be broadcast in HDTV on network television. You can't even imagine not having that now. What has not just technology, the way we view the game, how has that helped, in your opinion, Barry, connect a wider fan base and a younger fan base, but also these guys are on social media. They're putting up videos. They're talking one-on-one to their fans every single day. You see kids in the Ricky orange flat brims. I mean, it's a game changer. And you have a whole new type of fan, I think, watching, following guys on Twitter, wanting to go to the tournament that maybe you had 25 years ago.
And I'll let Barry answer, but I'll say, and that's what the game needs. The game,
personality, right?
The game.
Personality.
It needs to appeal to a younger demographic. The game
and connect to a younger demographic.
Absolutely.
How have you seen that affect things, Barry?
Well, personally, I'm a creator and a designer. So for me, it goes right to the customer experience, meaning there's just a higher expectation.
You've got your phone, and well,
absolutely,
when you're allowed it's just the interactive.
It's the expectation is higher, it is more immediate, so that has continually challenges our team, especially when we have a mobile event. Right, we don't have the luxury of going back to and just sort of like trimming that up a little bit. We have to start from scratch in effect and bring the circus, if you will. And make that work for Belle Reve. If you were to go to Harding Park or Bethpage moving forward, how we communicate and what words we choose, what menus we offer, the importance of travel, every place is just slightly different. So for us, I think the technology piece is, I'll go back to my first PGA. We sold tickets through fax and the mail. So that ages me to the fact that now we've moved to over 50% of our sales are off mobile devices. So what does that tell you?
It's a different type of fan, right? And you see it, Dan, in the galleries now. It's a different type of fan, isn't it? It's a different type of spectator. And it's exciting.
It's approaching that. I won't say that it's there entirely. I was lucky enough to be a part of the whole Tiger era. And Tiger brought in a different clientele. Yeah, he brought in the young kids because Tiger was sort of, he was Nike marketed and that sort of thing. But Tiger brought in the 25, 30, 35-year-old crowd who just wanted to be chic and fashionable, and golf was chic and fashionable at that time. Well, they weren't golf people, so they didn't come into the game to watch golf. They came into the golf people to be seen watching golf, okay? So this crowd that's out there now, this Jordan Spieth, Thomas, Rahm, Ricky, whatever crowd that's out there now, the hope is that they are out there seeing golf.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing chic about being there now. There's nothing, there's nothing really cool about being a fan of Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas. They're just good players,
really,
and you appreciate what their skills are. So I think my hope is that we're approaching that. Because, as I said, the game desperately needs youth from a playing standpoint to come get involved in the game. The game is not flourishing from a playing standpoint among young golfers at this point in time. and it needs that young demographic to become energized. And I'm just hopeful, like I said. I can't tell you how enthralled I am that all these good young talents are all really good young people. There's no bad guys. If somebody says, who's the bad guy out on tour right now? You know, I might reach for a Patrick Reed or somebody, but
even he is like likable after the Ryder Cup last year and his fun match with Rory. Like, I know he's got his controversy in the past and collegiately, but even he's like he's Captain America.
I agree. That's what I said. I think that's as important as anything. I mean, the bubble may burst. It certainly burst with us with Tiger that we were let down seriously by that. I just don't think this is built on one person, and I don't think that bubble can burst across the board like it did at that time. And so
Ricky Fowler.
I've just never been more enthused about where the game is from a player's standpoint than it is right now.
You know, like I think I'm thinking about an analogy when I'm listening to Dan, and you know how much we look at the growth of the Ryder Cup, right, over a 2-decade period. It's almost as if
it's become like the NCAA tournament.
It's almost as if I can look at the PGA Tour and that young talent and look at them as a team, kind of like as a whole. Which is kind of fun, and now I'm going to...
Well, and they all hang out together, too.
Yes.
They got their clicks, and they're putting it on social media.
Completely small anecdotes. We're picking pictures from Quayle to put in our office, right? From Quayle. And it's the typical, you look at the pictures of the champion, and you're going to put that up there. And we debated, and we were like, everybody was sort of sitting here going, boy, we really like that one with he and Ricky.
Yeah,
and just hanging out and what it said and what it meant and what it felt like.
Or Spieth in a...
You know what I'm saying? We had a debate about it.
Spieth in the T-shirt and shorts as they came back out.
Yes.
And after the Open Championship, you had Justin Thomas with Spieth while Spieth drank out of the trophy. It's like, and I know it's been kind of a hot debate topic. Yeah, you can have rivalry, but I think it's the best thing in the world for the game that all of these guys are friends. There's friendly competition, and they're genuinely thrilled for each other when they have success. And it helps that they've all had a hell of a lot of success.
I'll send you the link to the story that I just turned into CBS Today, because I wrote about rivalries, and I went back and I said 90 years ago, Hogan and Nelson squared off in a caddy yard for who was the best player playing out of Glen Gardens in Texas.
That's beautiful.
And that became one of the great rivalries with Snead thrown in the game of golf. And then I said in 62, which was 55 years ago, it was Jack Nicklaus on the tee on the playoff at Oakmont for the U.S. Open Championship, and that rivalry with Palmer played out for a decade. Even though Nicklaus was clearly the best player, the argument played out for over a decade. In 97, Woods showed up. That's 20 years ago, showed up at Augusta National, destroyed the record book.
Yep.
And I said there was really never a rivalry between Woods and Mickelson because Tiger never considered Phil his equal, and Phil always resented the fact that Tiger made him feel that way. But if you take those three groups of players, Snead and Hogan never played together in a Ryder Cup. Palmer and Nicklaus only played one match together in a Ryder Cup. And Woods and Mickelson played together in 2004 at Oakland Hills, and they hated each other so much that the only thing worse than the way they played was the way they behaved with each other on that championship. And I can take the President's Cup this year, and I can take the Ryder Cup next year, and I could put any one of these young players together, and they are going to be gung-ho for their teammates.
It's going to be great.
It's just something you wouldn't
see. It's going to be so great.
Look at that difference.
It's going to be amazing. And that's why I think it was so fun last year. Mm-hmm. I talk to buddies right now, and we'll wrap up with this. Whether or not they are the biggest golf fans, if they're in St. Louis, they're thrilled for this. But other buddies that I play fantasy football with, or we go to a baseball game, they always say the Ryder Cup is one of the bucket list events because of the atmosphere, the camaraderie. Other than, you know, a golf tournament where you're cheering for a guy or two, you've got your Ricky guys, your Spieth guys, you've got your guys that just want to see a great finish. But it's camaraderie. And you're exactly right, Dan. The group that we have right now, the group that will be here next year, and, you know, 97 of the top 100 at Quail Hollow, it's going to be incredible, but not just great sport, great personality to the whole tournament, I think. And that's what I'm so excited for. I think that Justin Thomas, beginning with his media stuff here over the next year or so leading up to the tournament, it's going to be fantastic. So I can't wait. Less than a year away now, we can finally say that. And I'm just so thrilled to continue to talk with you guys about it and continue to get ready for it and enjoy the last couple of weeks here of the golf season.
You got it. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. Barry Deitch from the PGA of America and Dan Reardon. Appreciate it, guys.
Enjoyed it.
All right, 8 o'clock hour coming up next after the news. Don't go anywhere. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports 9 on KMOX.